Teshir's Masechtas Vachim Daf Tzadik Dalet. We will begin on Daf Tzadik Gimel on the base at the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Mitas Ala'or, if the Chatos blood splattered on leather and hide, and as we have been learning that if Chatos blood splatters on a Beged, there's a chiv to do kibus, there's an obligation to wash it. Says the Mishnah, if it splattered on this leather, Achla Gufshit, prior to the skin being taken off from the meat, the halach is Einton Kibbutz, and Kibbutz will not be required. However, if it happened Mishal Hufsha, after it was stripped from the animal, Ton Kibbutz, then Kibbutz would be required. Divrei Rav Yehuda, this is the opinion of Rav Yehuda. Rav Elazar disagrees, Afshe Mishal Hufsha, even after the leather has been stripped from the animal, kibbutz is not required. And the Gemara immediately at the beginning of the Gemara after the Mishnah will explain the basis of the machlok between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yehuda. Continues the Mishnah, ein ton kibbutz el mokum hadam. The only place that requires kibbutz is the place where the dam actually fell. The dover shuroi lekabel tuma, something that is susceptible to tuma, only such a garment is requires kibbutz. And something that can be laundered. The Gemara will explain all of these halachas in great detail. Echad beged, whether it's made out of material, vechad sak, or whether it's made out of sack, vechad or, it's made out of leather, and all of these situations, tunin kibbutz, kibbutz is required. The kibbutz has to be done b'makom kadosh, in the azara. Interesting, machloikis v'shoinim, if when the Gemara here says that the kibbutz has to be done b'makom kadosh, what about the various chambers that were in the azara? Will they also be qualified to be placed where kibbutz could be done? It's machlokes rishonim. The Mechas Chinuch, however, points out that even though we learned earlier in our Masechta that we know certain kabbonis, kachi kachim, must be eaten strictly in the azara, but the Gemara said if for whatever reason the Kohanim cannot eat the Kachi Kachim in the Azara, for example, the Azara is under attack, so Gemara says the halacha is that the Kohanim may eat the Kachi Kachim in the Beis HaMikdash proper, says the Michas Chinuch. That's only a halacha regarding that specific din. Where the Torah gave permission under those specific circumstances that the carbon could be eaten in the Beis HaMikdash proper. But since there is no pasuk allowing us to eat the carbon, to wash the carbonos in the Beis HaMikdash proper, might wash the clothing in the Beis HaMikdash proper, says the Mechas Chinuch, it will never be permitted to do so. The Shvirus Klicheres, we're going to spend time later in our perek discussing the halacha that if there was an earthenware pot used to cook kachim, that the halacha is that pot must be broken after its use, because as we're going to learn extensively, pots, earthenware utensils cannot be kashered, says the Mishnah, that on this halacha too, the halacha is shvirus kli cheres v'makom kadosh, it has to take place in the Beis HaMikdash. Marika v'shtifa, b'kli b'choshes, if it's a pot or a pan made out of material, made out of copper, so it can be kashered, there too, the kashering, the marika v'shtifa, which the Gemara will explain what it means, marika v'shtifa, the halacha is, has to be makom kadosh. Zeh chayim v'chatzis m'kotche kotchim, says our Mishnah, the distin that we have been learning, that if blood splatters on the beged of chat, this way Rashi explains to Gemara, that if blood splatters, it has to be washed, says the Mishnah, is a din that's strictly by chatos, by no other kabbonis. That's how Rashi and most Rishonim learn. Rambam says that the last line that we're learning now, Zeh Chaymer, Bechatos Mekotche Kotchim, is referring to the halacha that we just learned. That a kli cheres that was used to cook karbonis. That must be broken. Says the Rambam that then only applies by karbon chatos. The halacha will be by other karbonis. It will not require any. Will not require shvira, which is of course, as Mefarshim discussed, a very difficult halacha to understand, because as we just explained, the reason why kashering is required is because there's blias of nicer. So what's the difference if it's a carbon chattas or it's any other carbon? So the way I saw that Mefarshim explained is that let's say there'll be a minimal blia. So by carbon chattas, the Rambam holds that the Torah requires that it have shvira, that the kli cheres be broken, no matter how minimal of a blia there is. However, by other kabbonis, of course, if there's a significant blia of noiser, the halacha will be that they must be broken, because a kli cheres, as we said, can't be kashered. So the only thing that will be left for us to do is to actually break it. But in all the other kalim, where there's a minimal blia, which wouldn't be enough of a blia to make the carbon puzzle, there the Rambam will say that there is no din that shvira is required. Begins the Gemara non-immediately. We began the Mishnah with a machlokes of Elazar of Yehuda, which garments require kibbutz. And as we identified when we said the wording of the Mishnah, we needed to understand what is the argument and what is the basis of the argument. Says the Gemara, the Tan Rabbanan, beged. The Torah says that if a beged, if the dam chatos splatters on the beged, it requires to be washed. Says the Braisa, only on a beged. I would only know if it falls on a beged made out of cloth, semer or pishtin. Menayin rabbis or mishahufshat. How do we know that leather, after it was taken off from the skin, that after it was stripped, it too has this halacha? Hamaloimer Ashiyiza Allah Techabis. Torah adds these words to teach us this din. Yocho Shani Mabar or Achloi Hofshit. I would think that even before it's stripped, this halacha applies. Hamaloimer Beged. Ma Beged Haroil Kabbal Toma. Just it has to be something that's susceptible to Kabbalah's Toma. Af Kol Haroil Kabbal Toma. It has to be susceptible to Kabbalah's Toma. And prior to being stripped, it's not susceptible to Kabbalah's Tumah. Ask the Chroinim, is that indeed true? Isn't the halacha that if we have or that if we have leather attached to Basar, since Basar is Makabal Tumah, the halacha is, so too is leather that's attached to Basar, Makabal Tumah. So what is our Gemara saying that it's not Makabal Tumah until it's stripped? Explain the Mefarshim. Certainly leather, even when it's attached to the basar, after the animal obviously is no longer alive, is royal Kabbalah's Tumah. However, explained the Mefarshim, that Kabbalah's Tumah has nothing to do with the fact that it's leather. That Kabbalah's Tumah is connected to the fact that it's basar. And whatever the halacha on basar is, will automatically extend itself to the leather. Our Braisa, our Gemara, is focused on leather. It's not focused on basar. And therefore, the Gemara correctly is, the Bryce is correctly pointing out that the or is only royal kabbal tumah at the point when it's stripped. And Rabbi Yehuda is saying, and as we're going to understand the opinion of Yehuda more extensively on the next Amud, that as soon as it could theoretically be makabal tumah, even if it isn't actually being Mekabel Tumah yet, it's already in the parasha, it's already included in the category that if blood of a Karbon Chatos splatters on it, it requires kibbutz. Rebbe Lezer says no. Beged. If the Torah had only used the word beged, I would only say Eli Ela Beged. It only means made out of semer upishtim. And in fact, the Mefarshim point out that this line that we just read in the opinion of Reb Elazar is really the essential point of difference between Reb Elazar and Yehuda. Reb Elazar holds that when the Torah says the word beged, the word beged, according to Rabbi Elazar, means strictly tzemer u'pishtim. Anything else is not included in the category of beged. And since that's the case, now we need to have psukim to teach us that this then applies not only by tzemer u'pishtim, but applies by other materials as well. Rabbi Yehuda, however, is not limited in holding that it only includes tzemer u'pishtim. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it can include other materials as well. And therefore, since Rabbi Yehuda doesn't need a pasuk to teach us that it includes other materials, Rabbi Yehuda could use the pasuk to teach us that not only something that is actually mekabel tumah, but even something that's royally mekabel tumah will have this din. And therefore, back to understanding of Elazar's opinion, minayin l'rabbi sak, how do we know to include that even if the beged is made out of sak or the kamin of a gadim, or it's made out of any other material other than tzemer u'pishtim, this halacha will still apply? Tamalaymer, the pasuk says, asher oleha t'chavis, that any material has this halacha of kibbutz. Yochol shani marber or mishahofsha, I would even continue to say that as soon as the leather is stripped from the animal, the halacha of kibbutz will apply to it. Tamalaymer, beged. The Torah uses the words beged. Ma beged davar ha-mekabel tumah. It has to be something that's ready mekabel tumah. Af kol davar mekabel tumah. It has to be right now mekabel tumah. If it's right now not mekabel tumah, even though it can potentially be mekabel tumah, it is not enough. Ma benayu. So what's the nafkamina? So here the achronim immediately asked the question. The nafkamina between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yehuda, especially as we have been explaining it, is very obvious. That according to Rabbi Yehuda, even if it's royal mekabel tumah, even if it's something that theoretically could be mekabel tumah, even though it's not currently being mekabel tumah, the halacha is that kibbutz will be required. According to Rabbi Elazar, it has to actually be mekabel tumah. So the Mefarshim asks, what's the Gemara's question, my benayu? So I saw the Mefarshim respond that of course when we're speaking about or, when we're speaking about leather, the difference between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yehuda is very obvious. The Gemara wants to know by other materials, not because, and especially as we just explained, that other materials are really the materials that the Torah refers to. Beged really doesn't speak about specifically leather. Beged really means tzemer u'pishtim. So now the Gemara's question is very understandable. The Gemara wants to know that where will we have a nafkamina between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yehuda by other materials, that the halacha will be, where will there be a practical nafkamina? And actually, as the achronim go on to teach us, our Gemara in Mitzvashem now is going to give us a number of nafkaminas between Rabbi Elazar and Yehuda. Actually, three different nafkaminas. Explain the Mefarshim that even though the Gemara is going to give us three different examples, it's not to be understood that these three examples, that these three opinions argue with each other. There is no argument. The Gemara is giving us three different passable areas where they could be a nafkamina. Amar Bai, what will be the nafkamina? By matlis p'chusa m'sholosh ikka v'nayu. If we have a piece of material that's less, this is the way Rashi explains the Gemara, we're going to learn the Gemara first with Rashi's opinion. When we have a piece of material that's less than three etzbos. So certainly when you have a piece of material that's so small, it's not considered a value, and therefore since it's not considered of any significance, it's not considered a beged, and it's not mekabel tumah. However, if a person, particularly let's say a poor individual, decides that he wants to use it, he wants to use it for a patch that he'll use on his garment that got torn, then it can be mekabel tumah. So manda amaroi, according to mandamah that says, according to Rabbi Yehuda that says, as long as it's potentially roi lekabel tumah, honami roi, as we just explained. If the person will decide to use it for a patch, so then it will be considered a garment, and since then it will be considered a garment, it's therefore had the din of kibbutz according to Yehuda. Because, as the Gemara explains, Dibrei Chashev Lei, he could decide to use it for a patch. However, Rebbe Lez's opinion, which is Man Da'avad Dova HaMekabel Tumah, it has to be actually currently Mekabel Tumah. Right now there hasn't been any decision to use this as a patch, and therefore right now it hasn't been used, it hasn't been decided to use as a patch, and therefore it's not going to be considered a beged as far as the halacha of kibbutz. As the Rishonim and the Achronim discuss a very fundamental question, the halacha they all say is that this patch that's used, that this small piece of material that's going to be used for a patch is not raw, is not considered mekabel tumah, the Gemara says, until it's actually used for a patch. The decision, the Gemara says, is never enough to make it mekabel tumah. So how could our Gemara say that Rabbi Yehuda holds that the decision is enough? So I saw a number of pshatim. There are some rishonim, because of this question, have a gerus in our Gemara that indeed, if it's such a small patch that it's less than sholosh al sholosh at cost, everyone will agree, even Rabbi Yehuda, that there is no chiyuv kibbutz. Our Gemara, they say, is referring to a patch that's less than sholosh al sholosh at tefachim. That there, since it's already a larger piece of material, there the decision to use it would make it royal kabbal tumah. And that's what Rabbi Yehuda says, that the decision alone to make a royal kabbal tumah, and since the decision alone to make it royal kabbal tumah, that's what Rabbi Yehuda says, the halacha is that it requires kibbutz. But indeed, if it would be so small that it's less than three etzbos, Rabbi Yehuda would agree with Rabbi Lezer. But that's obviously not Poshup Shad in our Gemara, because our Gemara is clearly, and that's the way most Rishonim say, is talking about that's less than three etzbos. So how do we understand our Gemara? So I saw a number of explanations. One explanation is that it's, when is this halacha, that if it's such a small piece of material, a decision alone is inadequate? That is only, they explain, when it didn't come from a larger piece, from a larger garment in the first place. But let's say you have this small piece of material that started off from a larger piece of material, there the halacha will be that a decision alone is enough to make it into a. Is enough to make it into a beged that it should be makabel tumah and require kibbutz. Another pshat, similar pshat, is that one, if somebody didn't just make a decision, but he actually was miyacheded for a patch, that means let's say the person has a place where he keeps all of his patches. And he put this small piece of material together with all of those patches. There the halacha will be that even though it's such a small piece of material, it's royal kabbal tumah. But then there's another explanation that I saw in the name of Reb Chaim. And that is that Reb Chaim Brisker explains that indeed, as far as Hilchus Kabbalah's tumah are concerned, the din would indeed be that since it's such a small patch, it's not royal kabbal tumah in any way until something actually happened with it. However, says Reb Chaim Brisker, we're not learning here halachas of the point of our Gemara is not really to teach us halachas of kabbalah's tumah. The point of our Gemara really is to teach us halachas of kibbutz. And indeed, says Reb Chaim, that is exactly what the Gemara is trying to teach us is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. That Rabbi Yehuda takes such a strong position. Rabbi Yehuda's position is that even if it's so small, and indeed even for Hilchus Kabbalah's tumah, it wouldn't be enough to be mekabel tumah. As long as it has some sort of a potential that it should be mekabel tumah, albeit it has to have more of an act, it's enough for the halacha of kibbutz to apply, that it must have kibbutz. Rav, as I said before, it's not necessarily that Rav is disagreeing. Rav says it's referring to a situation of beged shechisha lo letzur ikubinayu. Well, we have a beged. There's a piece of material, but this person decided to use this piece of material for that he wants to put an embroidery on it, and that the halacha is that since he wants to use it, he wants to put the piece of embroidery on it. The halacha is that until the actual embroidery is put on, the din will be that it's not considered finished, and since it's not considered finished, it's not mekabel tumah. And that is exactly the situation. Man damer roi, according to man damer that holds, it just has to be roi. So here, it's roi. Hanami roi. Why? Because even though this person indeed made a decision that he wants to put on an embroidery, he could always change his mind. He could always change his mind. And since he could always change his mind, the halacha is that it's not makabel. Therefore, even though now he hasn't changed his mind, it's already considered theoretically possible to be makabel tumah, and that's why it's makabel tumah. Man da omer, and that's the opinion of Reb Yehuda. However, man da omer, the opinion of Reb Elezer is that it has to be actually something which is makabel tumah. Man da omer dava ha makabel tumah, ha mi elabas kabel tumah. Right now, it's not susceptible to tumah, and since right now it's not susceptible to tumah, that's why it is no din of kibbutz. So the Rishonim help us understand this din. Certainly, they say the halacha is that if I have a finished garment, I have a suit, and my suit certainly is royal kabel tumah, and I decide that I want to put a piece of embroidery on my suit, certainly that suit will still be makabel tumah. Here we're referring, they say, to a situation where this was never a suit. It was never really fashioned full-fledged into a garment. And I decided that I want to put embroidery on it. Here the halacha is that it won't be makabel tumah. But the halacha is, according to Yehuda, since I could change my mind, it's makabel tumah. Furthermore, explained the Rishonim, the halacha is that a machshava might seem with a machshava. That means, if somebody decided to make something that, as far as he's concerned, it's a finished garment, let's use a garment as the example. Let's say somebody decided that what he has is to be considered a finished garment. And since what he has is to be considered a finished garment, the halacha is that it's mekabel tumah. And then he decided, you know what, it's not finished. Again, our example. He decided first that he doesn't want to embroider it, and now he changes his mind and says he wants to embroider it. The halacha is that the original machshava that he had stands, and that this keli and that this garment will be mekabel tumah. Here, why? Because a machshava, his decision to make it into a beged. The decision to undo, to reverse that plan can't be effective. Explained the Rishonim. They were referring to the opposite of Al-Gamar. They were referring where the original Machshava made it into a beged. And now you want to change your mind and use a Machshava to say it shouldn't be a beged. So the halacha is a Machshava mitzvah with a Machshava. Over here it's just the opposite. Your original Machshava was that it should not be considered a beged, because you want to make it into, because you still want to put some embroidery on it. Then you change your mind and say that I don't want to put embroidery. That second machshava will be a valid machshava, and that second machshava could make it, as Rabbi Yehuda indeed teaches us, roi theoretically or kabbalah's tumah. Rav Amar Rav gives a third example. We're referring here, he says, to an utzpira, the choshva al katsi kvinayu, a piece of cloth that you want to use as a spread, that you decided you want to trim. Mandama roi, the mandama that says that we follow as long as it's theoretically possible, honami roi, because you could change your mind and decide that you don't want to trim it, and therefore we consider a full-fledged material that's makabel tumah. Mandama dava makabel tumah, the contrabalazin says that you have to have something that's actually makabel tumah. Here, since it was your decision that you're not going to use this material until you trim it, so it's not makabel tumah until you actually trim it. And says the Gemara Batanya here means a raya, not a kasha. We indeed saw a brice that says this. Of Shimon Manasseh Oimer, Utva shechoshva katzva, a piece of material that you decided to trim. And again, we have to emphasize that's referring here to a situation that wasn't ever used, because once it was mekabel tumah, this machshav alone isn't enough. Tahira, it remains tahar shekatsiyana until he actually trims it. So we learned the Mishnah, ain't tahar kibbutz. The kibbutz is only required on the spot where the blood splattered. Anonymously, the Tanna Rabbanan, yochel nitas amitzas beged. We would think that if blood just splattered on part of the beged, ye kol a beged tahar kibbutz, that the entire beged should require kibbutz. Tamal loymer ashiyiza loymatu lucha el mokan dam bavad. Only the actual spot where the blood splattered requires kibbutz. Ask the Mefarshim, why would I think otherwise? Why would I think that not just the spot where it is dam requires kibbutz? Especially, the question that we just said is very understandable, explained the Mefarshim, given the fact that we've been learning what is the requirement, why did the Torah require kibbutz? The reason the Torah required kibbutz, because the Torah didn't want any remnant of the blood. So as long as I wash the spot where there was blood, I've accomplished what the Torah wanted. So why did the Gemara have to teach us that nowhere else is kibbutz required? So I saw two explanations. One explanation is because we know that the halacha is, and we're going to refer to this halacha soon, that a beged that has on it saras, also as part of the purification process, is required that it be washed. So, explain the Rishonim. Since the halacha is that it has to be washed, and the halacha is not just the spot where there was tsaras, but has to be washed, but even the area around it must be washed. So you think that the same halacha applies here. That's why Gemara says that no, only the actual spot, nowhere else. Or another approach that I saw in the Rishonim, that the halacha, and again, this is a din that we're learning, and we're going to be learning in this parak about kashering, that let's say you only cook halfway up in a pot. Still, the halacha is, when you kasher, you have to kasher the whole pot. So that's what our Gemara is teaching us, that the same din, so I would think perhaps that the same din, the Gemara asks, applies by this rule, that you have to kasher, that you have to wash not just the spot where the blood splatters, but the entire beged. That's why our Gemara has to teach us that no, the Brice, the Mishnah teaches us that only the actual spot, nowhere else. Continues the Gemara, Davish Royal Kabbal Tuma. The Mishnah says that only something that's Royal Kabbal Tuma, as soon as something is Royal Kabbal Tuma, it requires kibbutz. Says the Gemara Stama. Here we see that our Mishnah, we have a Stam Mishnah that follows Rabbi Yehuda, the Machlokes of Yehuda and Belezda, we learned earlier in our shir, it seems that our Mishnah clearly indicates that we should follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Royal kibbutz, it has to be something that lends itself to laundering. Not every material, which will be the rest of our shir, is something that's laundered. Lemuti keli debar gredu, something that isn't laundered but it's only scraped, there is no chiv kibbutz. There's a very big machlokes achronim, how to understand what the Gemara just said. Some achronim say that the Torah taught us a halacha of kibbutz, so something which lends itself to kibbutz, as our Mishnah and Gemara teach us, we should do kibbutz on. Something which doesn't lend itself to kibbutz, there's absolutely no obligation to do anything. However, other achronim explain that the Gemara is teaching us as follows. Where kibbutz is doable, because it's a material that lends itself to kibbutz, so indeed kibbutz should be done. Where kibbutz is not doable, so what should be done under those circumstances, greater should be done, but there will be a chiv to do the greater. So our Mishnah said, Echra beged v'echra sak. All of them require laundry. Ask the Gemara, it seems, lememra, that our Mishnah is of the opinion, the arbas kibbutzu, that ar can be laundered. Ask the Gemara for a minu, but there's a Mishnah Masechta Shabbos that says, Hosel of Lashleshes, if there was some filth on a pillow on Shabbos, where there's an Isser Kibbutz, B'kanche B'smartet, you could only wipe it away with a rag. Hosel Shalar, but let's say it was on a leather material, Nosel of Mayim Achetichla, you could put water on it. Why could you put water on it? Because it's there is no Isser Kibbutz by Lever. So, which is clearly a contradiction to our Mishnah that says the leather can be washed. So there's two questions and with one answer that could be that the Achronim asked. Why doesn't the Gemara say the obvious answer? That the halachas of Shabbos and the halachas of Kibbutz are different rules. And here we're talking, Amish is talking about Kibbutz of Kotshim. They were talking about Hilchos Shabbos. Furthermore, there's a question. Why did the Gemara ask when the Gemara wants to ask a question from our Mishnah, wait to ask from the wording of the Mishnah that says in the Mishnah, Echra Beg Vechra Sar. We could have started from the first words of the Mishnah. And the first words of our Mishnah were that Ar Mishnah Hufshit. So obviously, Ar is subject to Kibbutz. Why did it wait for later? Explain that Achronim, that indeed the Gemara anticipated that one would suggest this teretz to the difference between Shabbos and the halachos of Kotshim. And therefore, just because our Mishnah begins with the words Ar Mishnah Hufshit, it isn't in any way necessarily an indication, that Ar is subject to, Kibbutz. But then the Mishnah went further, and the Mishnah said expressly, and that's what makes the Gemara's question so strong, that all of these items, and let's read the words of the Mishnah, Echad HaBeged, Vecher HaSak, Vecher Ar, Tunin Kibbutz. So here the Mishnah isn't just saying that there's a special din in Kibbutz of Kotshin. Here the Mishnah is teaching us that this Kibbutz, that the regular rule of Kibbutz, what we consider Kibbutz, even applies by Ar, which is difficult based on the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos. Answered the Gemara, Amar Abai Loi Kasha, Hara Bona Har Chera. The Mishnah on Masechta Shabbos follows the opinion of the Rabbanim. Our Mishnah follows the opinion of Acherim. The Tanya, because there's a braisa that says, Habeged Vasak Mechapsoi, if dam splatters on material or on sackcloth, you do Kibbutz, Hakliva or Megardoi. Rabbanan holds, indeed you do Girud. Why? Because it is the opinion of the Rabbanan that there is no Kibbutz by Or. However, Acherim Ayurim, Habeged Vasak for Or. It's only Vakli Megardoi, because it's the opinion of the Rabbanan that, or the opinion of the Acherim, that Or is subject to Kibbutz. So our Mishnah that says that Or is subject to Kibbutz follows the opinion of the Rabbanan, and the Mishnah, and Masechta the Shabbos, it follows the opinion of Acherim, that Or is subject to Kibbutz. The Mishnah, Masechta the Shabbos, that says that Or is not subject to Kibbutz follows the opinion of the Rabbanan. So says the Gemara, if so, we can understand. Command of Wahad Amr Rav Chiya bar Ashi, have a Kimnik Zendan Sagin, have a Kimnik Amade Rav. Many times I was in front of Rav, the Shichlem Sarib Maya, and he was rinsed his shoes on water on Shabbos. Command, whose opinion does that follow? The Rabbanan, that there is no Kibbutz on leather, and therefore he could rinse his shoes on Shabbos in water. Amr Rav, ask the Gemara, Mil Mekalamanda Amr Ola Bas Kibbutzu, is it possible to say, ask Rav, that Or is not subject to Kibbutz? Look, Siv, there's a pasuk referred to a moment ago, the pasuk regarding Tzuras, where the pasuk says, "Vabegra shesio erev akli or shetachavis." So the Kohen clearly says that Or is subject to Kibbutz. Ella Amarava, Kro, the pasuk that says that Or is subject to Kibbutz. Umasnisan, our Mishnah that teaches us that leather is subject to Kibbutz is talking about rakin, soft leather. Ki pligi, where is there machloikis regarding kashim, regarding hard leather? That's where we have the machloikis of the Achirim and Rabban. Ask the Gemara, but if soft leather, indeed it's subject to Kibbutz. Ask the Gemara, if so, how do we understand what Rav Chiya taught us? Rav Chiya zimnas again, have a kimnik amid the Rav. Many times I stood in front of Rav, Shalom Sanab Amaya. He rinsed the shoes in water on Shabbos. Now is saying that everybody agrees that soft leather is subject to Kibbutz. Answers the Gemara, Rav Chiya was referring to the kashim, hard leather shoes made out of hard leather, and he was following the opinion of Rabbanan that there is no Kibbutz by hard leather. Hadam Rava, but then Rava rethought what he said. Lamel said that what I said is incorrect. Because make the name of the crop. Because as we said before, the Torah says that if a beged is afflicted by tzras, even if the beged is made out of or, kibbutz is required. Should we say, asks Rava, make a lame or lacroix the kik sivim barakim sivim? Should we say that the Torah is limited to speaking about garments that are made out of soft leather? Milay askinen, isn't the pasuk equally referring to situation, the kliach slagya abon min dina sayam, by utensils made out of hard leather that were made overseas, and yet the Torah says that kibbutz is required? I was saying now that according to Rabbanon, anything that's hard is not subject to the halachas of kibbutz. Ela Marava, we can't ask the question from tzaras. Kivin the megufa kaparcha, since the tzaras develops from the beged itself, mechalchale, it weakens the leather, or mashvele rech, and it's considered soft, even if it's made out of a hard material. But, says Rava, ikashli, if there is a difficulty, hakashli, this is my difficulty. Karmakastas, certainly when we speak about pillows and cushions, the rakaninu, obviously a person only wants a soft pillow or cushion. And yet, tonight we quoted the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos that says, hoysi shalar, that if it's made out of leather, you could put on it water. But if we're saying that something made out of soft leather, everyone agrees, is subject to kibbutz, why does the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos allow us to wash the pillow or cushion with water on Shabbos? Ela Amar Rava. Therefore, Rava says, kol kibbutz the less way kiskus, wherever there is no scrubbing involved, lo shmei kibbutz. It's not called laundry. So says the Gemara. So here we're learning that the Mishnah, which allows pouring water on soft leather, because there's no scrubbing involved. Behold the Amr of Chiyah bar Ashi, and therefore we now could understand what Chiyah bar Ashi said, that Zimnan Tzigin Havnikim Nikamei the Rav, the Shechshuche Lemsan Vemaya, that Rav would rinse his shoes in water on Shabbos, it meant Shechshuch in, strictly rinsing al kibbutz loy, but not laundry, not rubbing. Ask the Gemara, Ibarakin, says the Gemara, if it's talking about soft leather, b'divrei hakol, then if the shoes were made out of soft leather, everybody agreed. Since everybody considers soft leather launderable, he was speaking according to all opinions, Ibikashin, if it's talking about shoes made out of hard leather, so according to Rabbanan, there is no problem at all, because according to Rabbanan, there is no problem of kibbutz by hard leather. He was saying that even according to the Acherim, there are concerns for kibbutz by hard leather. Here, they're not concerned for kibbutz because there was no rubbing. Ask the Gemara, if we're saying that that's the case, that it's not considered laundered until you rub it, and therefore there is no problem by leather because you're not going to rub it, ihachi beged nami. So why don't we say the same thing by the material and just say, don't rub it? Answers the Gemara, beged shuyasu zikibosai. When we speak about something made out of material, there, as soon as it's soaked, even without scrubbing, it's already considered laundry. Rabba tameh, because Rabba's following his opinion. Dama Rabba zorak suda lamayim chayiv. If somebody throws a kerchief into the water, he's chayiv. Zorak pishtan lamayim, or somebody throws flax into the water, he's immediately chayiv. Says the Gemara, just to understand what Rabba said. Bishlam asudar, we could understand if somebody throws a kerchief into the water of a kivas. Because he holds, as soon as it comes in contact with water, if it's material, not leather, it's considered kivas. Elazar Pishtan asked the Gemara, why if somebody planted flax, meitama, why is it asur? V'chitema, if you're going to say mishum, then the kadach, that it sprouts, ihochi, chiti v'sari nami, so then, and there's an issue of zareya, so if so, the halacha should be the same by wheat and barley, not just by flax. Answers the Gemara, hanach islei riri. There's a mucus that comes out of the flax when it's soaked in water. Ask the Gemara, ihochi shlochim nami, so then the halacha should be the same by hides that they also put out a mucus? Answers the Gemara, Hasan Kavad Lisha. Where the mucus that comes out of the flax seeds stick together, and sticking together considered lush, and as the Mepharshim explained, the Mepharshim explained that since they stick together automatically, it's a psik resha, and therefore making separate particles stick together, where for sure is going to happen, is going to be a malachis lush. Ask the Magen Avraham. From our Gemara it seems that somebody who puts seeds into the water on Shabbos, there's no issue of Zareya, because our Gemara is only focused on the issue of lush. Ask the Magen Avraham that the halacha is that the Rambam says that you're not allowed to soak wheat or barley in water on Shabbos because of the issue of Zareya. So why? Our Gemara said there is no issue of Zareya. Answers the Magen Avraham. The nafkamina is how long the person plans to leave the seeds in the water. In the case of flax seeds, even if somebody intends to leave them in the water for very short times, since the seeds, all the mucus, all gathers together into one mass, you immediately have a chiyuv for lush. By wheat and barley, only will there be a chiyuv for zareya if he intends to leave them there for a long time. That's when there's going to be a chiyuv. They're going to be zareya. They're going to start to sprout. And there's going to be a chiyuv for zareya. That's what the difference is. But indeed, the Gemara doesn't mean, says the Magen Avraham, that there's never a chiyuv of zareya. The difference by lush is that the lush is automatic, and by zareya it depends what, how long you intend to keep it there. So only when it's kept there for a lengthier period of time will they sprout. Darish Rava, Mutal Chabas Minum B'Shabas. One is allowed to launder a shoe on Shabbos. Amalei Rapapa L'Rava, Vom Rav Chibar Ashi, Zimna Sagina Kamek D'Rav, V'Shichle M'Sani B'Shet Maya, that he only rinsed the shoes. Shich Shich In, strictly rinsing was done. Abu Kibas Loi, not running. So as soon as Rava heard this and he realized that he perhaps made an error, he took a spokesman to say, what I said, they are a mistake. This is what Chazal said, only rinsing is mutter by leather, kibus is awesome. But kibus is awesome. There's a question how to understand this Gemara. Because already Rava said that the Rabbanan agree that soft leather, there's a problem. So even when Rava originally announced that it's permissible to launder shoes, he only meant those of hard leather. So why did Rava have to reverse himself? Many Rishonim explain, because Rava felt that the halacha should not follow the opinion of the Rabbanan, that the halacha is indeed like the opinion of the Acherim. He came to the recognition that even by, that we should follow the opinion of Acherim, that even by hard leather, there is a problem of kibbutz. The Arishonim that disagree, the Arishonim that hold the Rava, the Halacha is like the Rabbonim. The Shalosh Yavetz says, from here we see how important it is for a person, particularly a Rava, Talmud Chacham, when he makes an error, to publicly admit as soon as possible that what he said was incorrect. And in fact, the Yavetz goes on to explain that when a person acts in such a fashion, that if he makes an error, he's quick to admit publicly that he's making an error. On the contrary, says the Yavetz, that's the way that a person grows in becoming a Talmud Chacham. There's a very big machloikas rishonim. If by leather there's an issue of kibus, of schita midoraisu or not. And many mepharshim, in the opinion of the Rambam actually, is that there is no kibus. There is no schita, again, by leather midoraisa. And they use this Gemara as a raya. Because our Gemara is saying that if they go back and forth, with the issue of frita, with the issue of kibbutz by leather. And they ask, why are we not concerned about frita? It's a raya to the opinion of the Rambam, that the Rambam holds that there is no frita, that there is no frita by leather. And that's how the Bi'ur Halacha seems to be explaining the opinion of the Rambam. However, there are other Rishonim that disagree, and they say that there is indeed schita by leather, even midoraisa. So why wasn't our Gemara focused on that rule? So I saw that they explained because since it was not done in our Gemara, the Gemara keeps on saying we have to be careful not to rub the leather, and since we have to be careful not to rub the leather, therefore the Gemara's paskin, that will also be a way to remember not to do schita. But indeed there could be an issue of schita even by leather. Furthermore, the Mefarshim ask, if our Gemara says that when it comes to material, shuyusoi zek busoi, just making it wet is already considered kibus, so the question comes up, when we wipe our hands in a towel on Shabbos, the towel is made out of material. And our Gemara is teaching us that shuyusoi zek kibusoi, that as soon as you make it wet, it's considered kibus. So how can we wipe our hands in a towel? And indeed, that's why many Paiskim suggest that particularly on Shabbos, before one dries his hands in a towel, he should be careful to try to shake off as much water from his hands or his body if he's drying anywhere else, because otherwise there'll be an issue of schita, of kibbutz. Another piece of advice that they suggest is that you should keep on using different spaces on the towel, so there's not going to be any spot on the towel that's really going to get wet. But of course we know that people do use towels on Shabbos, and the question is, why is there no issue? So the answer that the Mefarshim say is, the Gemara says that somebody, the Gemara Sefer Beis says that Nida, who doesn't have any tar clothing, and wants to make a clothing tar on Yontif, who walks through a mikveh, who walks through a river, and that's how clothing will get clean. It will get tar. Either the problem of kibbutz. So the Rishonim explain there is no problem of kibbutz for two reasons. Number one, we're talking about clean clothing. Kibbutz is only by dirty clothing, not by clean clothing. And number two, there is no concern of kibbutz if it's done in what the Rishonim call derech lichluch, where it's obvious what you're doing is actually making something dirty, not clean. That's not called kibbutz. And therefore they say, if you use a towel which is clean, and not only is the towel clean, but when you are drying your hands in the towel, that's not called derech kibbutz. If anything, that should be called derech lichluch. Therefore there won't be an issue of kibbutz. Which we go into the next issue that the Paiskim all discussed, as a Tshuva from the Avinezer, that says that kibbutz is only possible where you're cleaning something that the cleaning penetrates the item that's being cleaned, like a piece of material. And in fact, that's why, particularly according to the opinion of the Rabbanon, there's a difference between hard leather and soft leather. Because in soft leather, the water penetrates the leather. In hard leather, there is no penetration. And that's why, says the Avinezer, there is no concern for washing dishes on Shabbos. Why is there no kibbutz when you wash your dishes on Shabbos? Says the Avinezer, because you're not taking anything out from inside the dish or inside the pot or glass or pan that you're washing. It's just on the outside, on the surface. And kibbutz is only when you're cleaning, that the cleaning penetrates past the surface, which of course is the basis of some very important shailas that are very halach lemaisa. One question will be regarding washing plastic. Let's say you have a plastic tablecloth on your table. Is plastic considered also a material where the water doesn't penetrate the plastic and therefore there should be no issue of kibbutz. I'm not going into the issue of schita. Most paiskim, I saw Ramosha and Ravosner, say since we're not really clear in halacha how to treat plastic, therefore the halacha is that it should be perhaps, that's why we should be more machmir in terms of not washing plastic. The same issue will come out, will come up with, which is a very common question, and regarding washing or soaking contact lenses on Shabbos. May one soak contact lenses on Shabbos? And again, the question comes up, are you only washing the surface of the lens, which, as the Avinezer says, that whenever you wash only the surface of the material, it's not called kibbutz, or is there penetration? And that's why there are paiskim that want to differentiate between soft lenses and hard lenses. There are paiskim that want to differentiate between if you're using water or you're using a different type of fluid to wash the lenses. Rabbanim should be consulted for all these questions. We learned in the Mishnah, a kibbutz b'makom kaddish, that the laundering of the garment has to be done in a makom kaddish, not immediately, the done or rabbanim, because the pasuk says, tichabes b'makom kaddish, shviris kli cheres b'nai. How do we know that the same halacha applies to the breaking of kli cheres? Tamaloimer kli cheres asher tavush b'al yishava. The pasuk starts with the vav to connect that that same area should be done in the same place in the kaddish. That they too also must be done in Makom Kaddish. Tamlam again with the Vav, the Imbi Kli Chayshit Bashallah, or Marv Shut Vemayim. We learned at the end of the Mishnah, Zechayim Vechatas, this is the Chumrah of Chatas versus all other Kabbonis, the Locha of Kibbutz. Ask the Gemara Suleka, are there no other Chumras? Vikus Shinichnas Tama Lufnai Lufnim, that the Locha, that the carbon Chatas blood was brought into the base of Mikdash, the carbon becomes possible. That then doesn't apply by other kabbonis, says the Gemara. That sometimes the carbon chattis is brought into the kodesh kedoshim and the kodesh into the base of mikdash, but the chattis are pnimius. And says the Gemara, we Amish is talking about chattis kitzonius. Ask the Gemara now. Shemnefas dam lufnim psula by chattis is a special halacha that if the blood is brought into the base of mikdash, it becomes possible, which doesn't apply by other kabbonis. Says the Gemara, our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. The Mekoldom Shenichnasu Lahechel Chatas Psula. It's not limited to Karmel Chatas. Ask the Gemara, doesn't the Chatas have a stringency? Shekem Mechaperim a Chay Vekrisis. A Karmel Chatas is effective for Navera for which there's a Chiv Karis. And says the Gemara, not all Karmel Chatas have that rule. The Chatas to Shmi is Kol. The Karmel Chatas of Shmi is Kol. The Avera, that if somebody, the Torah says that if somebody swears falsely that he didn't know testimony, and then he admits, there is no Chiv Karis, and yet there's a Chiv Chattis. Ask the Gemara, doesn't a Chattis have the Chiv Shekein Tuna Arba Matanis? As we've learned so many times, the halacha is that it, the blood is applied to all four corners, which is not the din by other kavanas. Answer the Gemara, our Mishnah, for four applications, our Mishnah following the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, that Makal Damatun Adal Matanas, all kavanas require four applications. Ask the Gemara, Al Dal Kronis, but even if you say that all kavanas require four applications, the Chatas requires the four applications on the four corners. The other ones don't require the four corners. Ultamech, ask the Gemara, Heike Karen, there's a stringency by Karmel Chatos that requires the horn. Heike Expert, there's a special Chiv that the way the application of the Dam Chatos has to be done with the finger. Heike Chuda, that has to be made along the edge of the Mizbeah. Ella, how must we understand the Mishnah? Chad betrayed class Chumri Nakid. The Mishnah is only mentioning one of many Chumras. And that halacha, but indeed there are other chumras, not just this chumra, that applies to the Karmel Chatas versus all other kavanos.